continue to flow through us, dear Jesus, to us and through us, dear Lord. Asking that Pastor Sandy had the proper time, dear Lord, to receive from you, dear Lord. Mm-hmm. Let us be patiently awaiting with excitement and anticipation the word that you have for us today on this day. Let us be blessed and glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I feel like I haven't been here forever.
I know, right?
Minister Ryan, I want you to come up and talk to the people about. This is Minister Ryan. He's head of the SALT ministry, and that's a ministry for the men, which is. And what's the acronym for SALT?
Sanctified Ambassadors Living Truth.
Now, what's the acronym for LIGHT?
Letting in God's heart today.
Okay, and that's for the ladies.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So go ahead and give the announcement, would you?
So the Women of LIGHT would like to make an announcement. On Thursdays, they're going to open up the GoToMeeting app using a separate access code specifically for women, ladies who have come out of bad churches. Women who have needs, prayer requests, just questions about what it means to be a Christian and how to represent God in this fallen world and to be a king's kid. So this is a discipleship reach out effort for the Women of LIGHT, for everyone all over the world to call in during a 3-hour period on Thursdays with any needs or questions or prayer requests that you have. So we will send to you the PDF that gives you all the instructions if you are interested. Any ladies, if you're interested, we have two emails for LIGHT. It is s4c1lightministry@gmail.com. And the other one is s4clight@outlook.com. So that's for any ladies out there who need fellowship and discipleship with other women of God.
Amen. 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 That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Try to get everyone ministered to. Well, it's great to see everybody. Amen. Be back in the house. Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman. God is good all the time. And I on Wednesday, or was it Tuesday? Pastor Ben called me and said he wasn't, and he needed to take Wednesday and Thursday off. And I was like, well, okay, that gives me like time I can spend with the Lord. And so I started praying, and then the Lord encouraged me to go ahead and read the whole book of Jasher. And Jasher is a book that's mentioned twice in the Old Testament. So I like to know that the Bible mentions it as well before I start reading something. So the book of Jasher is mentioned. So I started reading the book of Jasher and praying and reading the book of Jasher. And Jasher has about 89 chapters. So I got through about to chapter 52. And while I'm reading, you know, the Lord's talking to me and showing me in this book everything that he placed in the book of Jasher is all the stuff that's missing. Because I can see now why God, why the Bible says if they had written everything that Jesus did, it would not have been enough books in the world to cover it, right? And so I can see that also being in the Old Testament, because Jasher is just the story and all of the details. Yeah. That's what Jasher is. It's the story and all of the details. And so it's, but as I'm reading, God is showing me things that he really wanted me to know. because there's things we take for granted and we never ask questions, but God wanted to fulfill those questions so that I know what happened in those situations. Because he wanted me to know that they were important, that I know these things. One of the things, I'll let you know in a minute, but let me talk to you. As I was praying, the Lord started giving me instructions concerning what's going on now and the year that we're in, 5782. There will not be another 5782, meaning that there will not be another year that equates to the scripture that says, if only they knew they were in the latter end. Okay? So he says, this year is a very important year. So it's important that we understand a wheat harvest in a year that says it's the latter end is the latter end. You understand? So the Lord was wanted me to relay a message, and I put it on Facebook because I couldn't hold it till Sunday. And I want to read that and then kind of talk about what the Lord was showing me, okay? So if you have your notes with you, this is how the Lord started off his message to me. And you can get jealous, but he's your friend too. But he said, my servant, my friend. I was like, ooh. And then he said, we told them the year, 5782. And they want to know the month. And if we tell them the month, they will want to know the week. And if we tell them the week, they will want to know the day. And if we tell them the day, they will want to know the hour. And if we tell them the hour, they will want to know the minute. And if we tell them the minute, they will want to know the moment of the rapture. So God is like, these people are relentless in knowing the day and the hour. And then he says, but know that this is natural for the children of God to want to know this. You understand? Because they who have the Spirit, who have my Spirit in them, are like fish out of water. They only want to be reconnected to the water. The fish out of water can think of nothing else. So people who love me only long to be reconnected to me, the rapture. I am the living water. Do not let anyone mock you for doing what is natural. You have my Spirit, and you long to be connected to the living water. So the Lord was letting me know that you guys are like fish out of water. You know, I mean, what's more, can you really talk to a fish out of water about anything else but water? Because it's like, you ever see one? I mean, I've been fishing once in my life when I was 12, and I pulled one out the water, and he just started flapping and flapping and flapping. And then when he got tired of flapping, you could see he was barely breathing. And then, you know, we wanted to put him back in the water, and I put him back in the water, and he just starts swimming away so natural, and he looks so happy. Yeah. Like, oh, I am where I'm supposed to be. And the Lord says that that's how the Spirit has every believer. We feel uncomfortable. We know that this is not the right place for us. Yeah. We know that we're out of water. And the Lord was also letting me know that when you enter into the kingdom, you will feel as natural as a fish being released back into the water. And he said, righteousness is inbred in you because of his Spirit.
Yes.
And so this is why you don't feel comfortable in a room full of people cursing. You don't feel comfortable in front of a room full of people drinking. Because your Spirit, God's Spirit is in you, and these things are unnatural. So you're flapping around like a fish, like, get me, I don't belong here. I belong in living waters, you know? So the Lord wanted me to know, not to be upset that you guys want to know, because they send me all of the videos of everybody who has ever done a rapture video. I get them all, you know? And so that means I get all the theories. And, you know, if you have you heard Rapture Bubble Live? And I go, no, I never heard of Rapture Bubble Live. Well, they got a theory, and I'm sending it to you. And then I got to go through, because then if you don't look at that, I sent you Rapture Bubble Live. Did you look at it? And I'm like, oh, I don't have time, you know? And it'll be a theory about something that's crazy off the thing, right? Not biblical. So I'll go, well, it doesn't agree with scripture. Yeah, but it sounds so good. Did you listen to the whole thing? And so it's so it kind of gets overwhelming. But God's like, even though there was no rapture on Pentecost, what does Pentecost begin? What does the 50th day begin? It begins the wheat harvest. And the wheat harvest has to be complete. So let me read. I went back to studying, and then the Lord started talking to me again, okay? So I'm going to read part two. So I'm reading the book of Yasher again, and I go and pray. And then the Lord says, I have never allowed the righteous to suffer with the evil. And myself, I'm thinking to myself, okay, I know this. I mean, Lot didn't suffer with the eight on the boat didn't. They were taken up before. But God wanted me to know that he has never allowed righteous people to suffer with the evil people. And he has never allowed his judgment to come with righteous people being present. And he said, this is my promise to the body of Christ. You will never know those days because you belong to me. So, here it is. Let me read this before I move on, okay? So you'll know what he was saying. Okay, so in the book of Jasher in chapter 4, the flood was about to happen, right? And in verse 19, it says, and the Lord said, I will blot out man, I created from the face of the earth. Yea, from man to bird, birds in the air, together with cattle and beasts and field of the field. He said, for I repent that I made them, right? Are you guys listening?
Yes, sir.
And it says, and all men who walked in the ways of the Lord died in those days before the Lord brought the evil upon man, which he had declared. For this was from the Lord, that they should not see the evil, which the Lord had spoke concerning the sons of men. So it says that God, because God wanted me to know that Noah and his family were not the only eight people that were living for him in those days. But he caused all the people that were living for him to die before the flood because he didn't want them to go through it. So then he took me to this next scripture, and it says, let's see, here it is. In 21, it says, and all the sons of men who knew the Lord died in that day before the Lord brought the evil upon them. For the Lord willed them to die, so they are not to behold the evil that God would bring upon their brothers and relatives, as he had so declared. So it said God willed for all the people to die before the flood came, that he didn't want to go through it. So it's God. So God began to tell me, it is my promise to the body of Christ, to righteous people, that you will never know the evil days. Okay? Because it says God will remove you, and we know how he's going to remove us now, right? We know that he plans to remove us with the rapture. But in those days, there was no rapture, but God didn't want them to go through it. So he said he willed for them to die before the flood came. Okay? Amen. So don't expect that there were only eight people that escaped the flood when you get to heaven. There'll be plenty of people who say, I died before the flood came. Okay? And it was God's will that he remove them because he didn't want them to experience the flood. Okay, so that is God's promise to us. So now let me finish reading from God says, I am God, and I change not. And he says, you will know the day. He says, you will not know the day to the body of Christ, but you know the year, and you know the harvest, and you know the harvest of wheat is at hand. Help the Lord of the harvest finish the harvest. The Lord of the harvest is the bridegroom. There can be no wedding until the harvest is complete. So the book of Ruth in chapter 2, verse 23 says, she, meaning Ruth, who was engaged to be married to Boaz, it says, she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley and the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. And the mother-in-law of the church is who? Israel. So we're still in the earth with the nation of Israel, and we're going to dwell with the nation of Israel until the harvest is complete. Yeah. But the Lord is saying it is the end of the harvest. It is the end of the harvest that the wedding happens. Why? Because your bridegroom is the Lord of the harvest. He has a job before he can have a wedding. So the Lord says, you are in the harvest season, in the year of the wedding. Do not say, we have 4 months. And we're going to study that today. He says, we can finish sooner if we work harder. Turn your head from the wedding to the harvest. We only have a short time. It is your time and our harvest. Let's gather together to increase the harvest. See you soon, Dodi, which means my beloved. So praise God. That was the word I received from the Lord. Amen. And the Lord said, I want you to post it. I want you to put it on. I was like, I took 2 days because I'm praying about it. Like, okay, is it really from you? I think God just want to slap me sometimes. I got to make sure. Give me a sign. So anyway, I got to the point where God was like, okay, I told you to post it. Post it. So this was the Lord was letting me know, though. This is not a time to take lightly the importance of harvesting. Amen. This is not a time to say, well, sooner or later, they'll understand the Lord. The Lord said, told me, at this time, we should not be asking people to come to Christ. We should be pleading with them, almost engaging them, like, this is the hour that you need to wake up. Please wake up. Please accept Christ. Yeah. He says, this is not the time. No, thank you, Pat. I was going to say thank you for giving me the time, but you got sick, so you didn't really. But I needed that time to just be, because I'm at home all day. Israel's gone. Drea's gone. I can be on my knees all day. I can study all day. And I got engaged in just looking at the Bible and studying what God wanted me to know. And the main thing that he really wanted me to know was that you already know the year. Yes. There is no other year in the Bible other than Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 29, that says that if only they knew, this was the latter end.
Yes.
And it's exactly the amount of years from 1948, 5708, that it says this year, this is the latter end. If only they knew it. Well, the only way that they're going to know it is for us to warn them and to tell them. But when so many dates go by, and now you're like, oh, I don't really want to talk to them about the rapture, because if the day goes by, then they'll really not believe in the Lord. They're not going to believe in the Lord anyway. So our job is to warn them. And the Lord says, don't be subtle as you bring to end this harvest. Don't be subtle about what you're doing. Don't request that they know the Lord. But beg them urge them, the Lord was putting in my heart, urge them that you don't have a lot of time because the harvest season in the year of 5782 is going to be over with. And you guys, listen, you're not going to have forever to tell people about Jesus. We believe that because maybe next year she'll. But one of these days there won't be a next year.
Right.
One of these days there won't be next week. And one of these days there won't be tomorrow. So God is like, if you're really concerned about people, don't request that they get saved, but urge them.
Yeah.
Beg them. Tell them, because the signs are not what's going to make them turn. Because they see the signs, but to them, it's just a natural portion of human existence, that we'll get back to normal and everything will be okay. There's always been wars, and that war will be over with, and we'll get back. Israel has always been bombing Damascus, and we'll get back. Russia has always been at war and having aggression against Israel. Well, they think all of this is natural. Oh, they've always talked about the 666, and they've always talked. And we can get into that mode that, well, they're right. We just got plenty of time. Mm-hmm. But the message that the Lord has given me is there is a time where you'll wake up and you know what? Your time to say, I should have called so-and-so will be over.
Yes.
Okay? You're in the year and this is your harvest year.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. Go to the next page if you got the notes. This is the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 29.
It's
page two. It says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Now, that scripture is the 5782 scripture and for 2021. But God wanted me to know when he prophesied Israel in 57 as the 5708 of the Torah, he used the 5708. So he's going by the Jewish year and not by 2020 or 2021. He's going by the Jewish year, which is September to September. So this scripture began last September, and this scripture continues until this September. Okay? So, and this is the scripture that says it. And now in the Psalms, it says, for 121, it says Shir Lema Alot, and that means the song to the ascent, or the song of the action of ascending up. Okay, and the numerical value of it 2220, which is the maximum of the voice of God. There are so many things that the scriptures are trying to tell you that this is the year, and so I want us to know how blessed we are to have Christ. And I want us to know that a person that just comes to Christ does not have to be fully matured in Christ to be raptured. You understand? And the Lord was letting me know in prayer, the man that was on the cross didn't have time to get down and get a water baptism, nor did he have time to study scripture, nor did he have time to pray and go through a long thing of repenting of things, or had time to go back and apologize to people that he had offended. He said there was no time. All he had was an opportunity to say, I'm recognized that here on this cross, you are God.
Yes.
And when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And he said, this day you will be with me in paradise. God, the Lord, while I'm on my knees, the Lord said, I want to have many people in the kingdom, a part of the harvest, that never had the opportunity to get baptized, never had the opportunity to go back and do other things, or to grow in Christ, or to become a member, or to all of this stuff that we consider to be Christianity. Mm-hmm. He wants there to be, because of the harvesters, yeah, he wants there to be so many Christian rookies in heaven that they'll have the testimony that it was a week before it happened and someone came to me and said, we're living in a time that you really don't understand. You need Christ.
Yeah.
And let me explain it to you, okay? And then you explain the gospel to them and they accept it. And then God has brought them as part of the wheat harvest, even in those last moments.
Amen.
And so the Lord is like, don't be fearful in what he's asked us to do.
Amen.
I have these pictures of the Samaritans because they're going to play a very important role as we go and we read and study what we're going to study today. Now, I want you guys to know, well, I don't even have to tell you, but Samaritans are not Jews, okay? They're like the black Hebrew Israelites. They're confused people who are trying to make themselves Hebrews or Israelites off their own knowledge and understanding, right? But they were the Samaritans are not Hebrews. They are not Israelites. They never have been Israelites. They never were. But somehow, you know, Satan gets into their mind that you are Israelites. And so they get into these discussions and arguments with Christians, the Jewish people, that they're the true people, okay? So Jesus is going to come and meet with one of these Samaritan women. And as he meets with her, he's going to let her know, and then you're going to find out many things about the harvest. Because the harvest of the wheat, of the barley and the wheat, lasts for 4 months. So from Passover to about the middle of July, the wheat harvest is, the barley harvest and the wheat harvest are complete. The last of those harvests is the fruit harvest, and they have to wait until September until they can actually harvest the fruit, okay? So this is how the harvest is going, and the Lord is concerned that they understand this. So I am going to turn to the next page. And I don't really want to read 2 Kings chapter 17, 26 and 28. But what that tells you is that God is letting you know who the Samaritans are. Okay. They had pagan beliefs, pagan practices, and somehow it got into their head that we're the real Jews. Okay. And so here is a calendar of the harvest, and that it starts in Nisan, and that's the Ayar, then Sivan, then Tumaz. In the month of Tumaz, ends the wheat harvest, okay? And I had it on this bottom page, but it got kind of cut off, Pastor Ben, because of the way I did it. And so it has the harvest begins around April, March and April, and we know that's the barley harvest. And then it has the harvest ends June and July, okay? So the harvest ends between June and about the middle of July. So understanding that, you can't get into your mind, I have 4 months for the harvest, okay? Because the time that God is speaking to them, he's speaking to them at the time of Passover, okay? And then we'll look at that. Wait a minute. Let's see if I have one more page before I begin to read. Okay. All right. Go to page 4. On your notes, and we're going to begin to read. And I believe we can start at verse 7, but I want to make sure. Okay, and the devil was upon him. Let me make sure. That's in John. I'm like, why doesn't this read right? Because I'm in Luke. That'll mess you up every time. Okay. All right, Luke chapter 4. Let's begin at the beginning here, okay? And so we get this whole story of what's going on, because we're going to learn quite a bit. And it says, huh? John chapter 4, yeah. Don't follow what I say. Do what I do. Go to John chapter 4. And it says, if the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground of Jacob, had given to the sons of Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Now, the whole argument between who's really the true people of God caused them to hate each other. So Samaritans and Jews didn't speak, they didn't talk, and they certainly didn't ask each other for a glass of water. So she's shocked, and she says, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Yes. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well?" He didn't give it to them, he gave it to Joseph. But, you know, you got your own doctrine, that's cool. It says, "who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and as did also his sons and his flock and his herd." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whosoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." And she said, "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you are that you have now, and it says, and the man you now have is not your husband." It says, "What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans," now Jesus is separating himself from her, right? Because he say, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We," meaning the Jews, "worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews." Mm-hmm. Did he say salvation is only for the Jews or from the Jews? Because from the Jews come Jesus, yeah. And from Jesus comes salvation. Yeah. Okay? Just in case you're talking to one of those other, a black Samaritan. Because they'll say, "Jesus only came for us." "Yet a time is coming and has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Yeshua declared, I who speak to you am he. Now, they've been waiting for the Messiah to come. And Jesus has not just now declared to her the Messiah that everyone has been waiting for, I'm him. Now she has to make a decision whether she's going to believe it or not. It says, just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this man be the Messiah? And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then the disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Okay, so then he begins to explain to her, them, that maybe I should read that portion too. Okay, I have to read that portion. It says, then the disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? And he says, my food, says Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. Do you not say 4 months more than the harvest? Now, this is about Passover time. So you know what the Samaritans are doing? He's in Samaritan. You know what the Samaritans are doing? If you go back to the page where the Samaritans are, they're all dressed in white. So as he's talking to her, all the Samaritan community is dressed in white. So he says this. He says, do you not know that there are 4 months more than the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the field. They are ripe with harvest. And it says, and look at the field, because they are, some of your Bibles will say they are white, right? With harvest. And the Greek word they've used there is they are white with harvest. So Christ is telling them, don't wait, don't think that you have 4 months from Passover. Look at the harvest. Look at these Gentiles. They are ripe for harvest. They're ready for harvest right now. The woman has already believed, and she's gone back to explain the message to her family. And he says, they are white to harvest. Even now, the reapers draw his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop of eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows and another reap is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you don't. And you have reaped the benefit of their labor. So, there are reapers, there are harvesters. There are also people who water the harvest. You understand? By the time you get somebody saved, they've been watered so many times. So it's not you getting them saved on that day. It's the Holy Spirit who has been providing that believer to water them, that believer to water them. Somebody had to even plant the seed to say that Jesus is Lord. And so now everybody's going to this person and telling them about getting saved and about Jesus. By the time the guy came to me to tell me about Jesus, I had already been watered very well. And so God is saying, do your part or your portion, okay? Now, it says in verse 39, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So she's out, she's in Samaria, they're all in white, and she's out preaching the gospel that the Messiah's here.
Yes.
And it says many people are believing her only because she said, this man told me everything I ever did. And he didn't know me from nothing. And he told me I am the Messiah.
Yeah.
And he said he'll give me living water that'll spring up into eternal life. Yeah. She's saying, come with me, I'll show you so you can meet the Messiah and we can get eternal life. Because they heard about the Messiah coming.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. So it says, he told everything I ever did. So when the Samaritan woman came to him, they urged him to stay. Let me read that again, because you have to understand. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2,000 years. Does that what your Bible say? 2 days. But what does that represent?
2,000 years.
So he stays, and he's what is he there doing while he's staying with the Samaritans? He's preaching to Gentiles.
Yes.
He's telling them about the plan of salvation. For 2 days, he's there and he's speaking to them about the gospel.
Yes.
Okay? And it says, so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with us, and he stayed 2 days. And because of the word of the word, many more became believers in 2 days. They're getting the whole town saved.
Yeah.
They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because you got saved, Pastor Ben. I'm believing because I met Jesus for myself.
Amen.
Right? This is what the people are saying. It says, and because of the words, many more became believers. And they said, to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is what? The Savior of the world. They really believe in Jesus. Okay? Now he's staying there for 2 days. It says, now listen, after 2 days, he left for Galilee. For now, Jesus himself had pointed out that the prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. So for 2 days, remember, he has the testimony, my own people don't even accept me. Those who are the Jews that are in Galilee, they haven't accepted me. But when he went back, after how long? 2,000 years, he's coming back, and he's coming back to talk to who? The Jewish people. But first, what is he doing? He's saving the Gentiles because they are white to harvest. And he's letting you know, look at all of these people. They are ready for harvest. Be prepared to speak the gospel to people. Listen, it's nothing feels as bad as trying to talk to somebody about Jesus and they get upset at you. I've done it to people when I wasn't saved. And I've tried to preach to people who weren't saved and they did it to me. So it's a bad feeling because you walk away feeling like what? Man, that was unsuccessful. God said, good watering. As you're walking away saying, I'm unsuccessful, God is saying, that was good watering. Thank you so much. Now that plant is going to grow a little bit more. It's still under the ground, but I'm going to send some more people to water it. And so now you've done your part. The success is not in the fact that you got somebody saved because you didn't water that. You got there on the day when you poured, it popped up and you went, I did it. And the guy's like, you didn't do anything. You watered and it was ready because I had 12 other Christians water that before. Okay. So for 2,000 years, God is going, but now Jesus comes back. And once he comes back, the Jews, but he stays for 2 days. Why? Now, understand this. The Jews lost Jesus. They took him to town and he lost Jesus. They're on their way back for 2 days, and they don't have Jesus. They say, hey, you seen Jesus? No, I haven't seen him. I think he's with your uncle. No, and everybody's like, little Jesus. And and they said, we got to go back. We got to, what do you mean turn? To turn. We got to shuv. Shuv means turn around, repent.
Yeah.
So in the thinking of God, they're turning around to repent, yeah, because they've been walking without God for 2 days. That's why he stays with the Samaritans for 2 days. So when the Jews turned around, they realized they didn't have Jesus. They turned around and they found him. And he says, woman, I would have got whipped for that. But he says, woman, didn't you not know that I would be in my Father's house? And so they find Jesus, but not until the third day, the beginning of the third day, when they turn back to get him. You understand?
Yeah.
So right now, Jesus is harvesting, and the world is a harvest. Now, I need us to go to the book of Ruth. It's, oh my goodness, I can never find what I'm looking for. Because I want to talk to you guys about the book of Ruth. And I can't. I should have tagged it. I can't find Ruth. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Some people know the books by... Oh, that's after that. And I'm like, nah, I haven't got there yet. Okay, here we are. Now, you're in the book of Ruth, and this Ruth... is a friend of this Ruth is a friend of Jewish people. Okay, Ruth is with her mother-in-law. Okay, now do you guys know the story of Ruth? Do I have to go through this, or you guys know? Okay, so Ruth is married to one of a Jewish woman's son, right? And so she's married to Naomi's son. And when there's another lady there who's married to Orpah, is married to Naomi's other son. And they go away on a journey because there's a famine there, and Naomi leaves with his daughter and her two daughter-in-laws and her two sons. And both her sons die. And so she hears that the famine is over with back in Israel. So she goes to turn around to go back and be with her own people because the famine's over. Orpah says, your son that I was married to died, so I'm going back to my people. Ruth says to Naomi, I'm going with you. Your God is going to be my God. And don't try to turn me around, because I've made up my decision that your Jesus is my Jesus.
Yes.
Your God is my God. So she goes back, and when she gets there, who does she meet? Because her mother-in-law says, I need you to go in the field and see if you can get us some food and bring it out, because it's barley season. So she goes, and she's walking around the field because she's getting what is called the welfare system of the Jews. Anything that falls on the ground is for the poor.
Yeah.
Harvest, whatever, but if it falls on the ground, you're not allowed to pick it up. That's for the poor, so that they can come by and they can glean from the harvest. So she's gleaning, and Boaz recognizes her. Boaz is the Lord of the harvest.
Yes.
Boaz is also a kinsman redeemer.
Yes.
And he's Jewish.
Yep.
And Ruth is not. You understand?
Yes.
The only reason Ruth is there is because of what happened, right?
Right?
So he says, the kinsman redeemer says, who is that woman that's in the field? And the kinsman redeemer says, Don't just let her pick up what falls on the ground. Also, give her some of the good stuff. And then after, he has her come and sit with them, and they're dipping in the whatever they dip in. Drea likes that stuff. What's the hummus? Oh. They're dipping in the hummus, and they're eating, right? Now, understand this. Unless you've been around Greek, or they don't, everybody dips out the same thing. There's no double dipping. We're family. You understand? That's why Jesus says, I'll come in and I'll sup with you, right? Because he's saying it's going to be a family thing. Like, we're putting everything aside, right? So they're dipping, and she's eating good food. Then when she gets to go home, Boaz says, add some hummus in there. I'm exaggerating. But put some more stuff in there, right? So when she gets back, her mother-in-law goes, woo-wee, where you been gleaning? This ain't no welfare cheese.
Ain't no government cheese.
This ain't no government cheese. These real cornflakes. She got the brand name stuff.
Yeah, she did. Got the good stuff.
And she said, well, I met Boaz. He was very kind to me. And she says, Boaz is a kinsman redeemer of our family. This guy has the ability to buy back my land for me, and he has the ability to take people out of slavery. This guy is very powerful.
Yeah.
So she starts setting up the wedding. She's doing this because not only for her, she says, girl, I'm gonna have to get you a husband. She says, look, now while you go down to the, where they're harvesting the barley, and when you see where Boaz is laying, he's going to have his tallit over him, okay? Take the hem of his tallit and cover yourself with it, and he'll know what to do after that.
Amen.
Now, the woman that saw Jesus walking and she grabbed the hem of his tallit, what was she asking for?
Healing.
Zozo. She was saying, make me whole. Marry me. This is something you do to a kinsman redeemer if you want to be connected with him.
Yeah.
If you want to call on the name of the Lord, meaning I want to take on your surname.
Yeah.
I want to be married to you. The lady that grabbed the hem of his garment, Jesus says, somebody wants to be connected to me. Someone wants to be made whole. That didn't just start at Jesus' time. It started in the time of Boaz. Because she tells him, take the hem of his tallit and cover yourself, and he'll know what to do.
Yeah.
Soon as she takes the tallit and covers himself, he's startled and he wakes up and he sees her covered with his tallit over her. And he goes, wow, you show this great kindness to me. You haven't done this even to young men. And here you are, uncovering my tallit. And does she know? I just asked this man to marry me. She don't know that.
Mama know.
So he's walking around town telling people, I got to go see the first redeemer to make sure that he doesn't want a redeemer and redeem the land, because I'm going to marry this beautiful Gentile woman who came into the field. She's so gorgeous, and he's going to marry her. So then when we get to the scripture that the wedding is now set for Boaz and Ruth to get married, but they don't get married to when?
After
the barley and the wheat harvest. The barley harvest begins in Nisan, and we know that when Christ was resurrected, he went up and he took the barley harvest with him, because graves cracked open, and he took the barley harvest with him because of the resurrection. The next harvest is the wheat harvest. The book of Ruth says that Ruth stays with her mother-in-law till the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, which does not end until around the middle or late July. Okay, so do not say you have 4 months for the harvest. And don't say you have too much for the harvest, because this is what the Lord was telling me in my prayer. We can leave sooner if we work harder, but he's trying to increase the harvest. And he only has the year that he prophesied, which is the 22 year. Now, this is what the Lord says. Why do you think the book of Revelation ends in chapter 22? And why do you understand that the scripture that says the action of going up, lay ma'alot, is in the year of Psalms 121, which 5782 starts and lasts till the next year? And then why does that scripture numerical value is 2220, which means the ultimate voice of God you will hear in what year? In the 22 year, right? So all of these, then you go 5782 is 22, and then you go, everything is telling you. And God says, son, my son, we told them the year. I'm praying, and God is like, don't be angry with them. We already told them the year, but it's natural inside of them. You tell a fish, oh, I know what month you're going back in the water. He said, well, what week? You tell a fish, we're going back in the water sometime this week. He'll say, what day?
Yep. Yep.
You tell a fish, we're going back in the water today. He'll say, what time?
Yep.
You say, in about an hour, in what minute? Because his thought is, when am I going to get back to my natural existence? Because something in living inside of me that lets me know where I am is not it.
Right.
And so I apologize to everybody who sent me stuff that I was mad at. Because now, you know, Pentecost is the wrong day. It's going to be on full moon. The stars are lining up. Pastor Sandy, I got a new theory. And I'm like, I don't want to hear nothing of that. I just want to pray and just study and be with God. God said, don't be mad. They're doing what is natural. Fish don't like to be out of water. And now, right now, all of you are out of water. Do you know in heaven, everywhere you go, people will have righteous conversations?
Yeah.
Do you know there'll be no bars? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There'll be no gay parades.
Woo!
There'll be none of this stuff. You understand?
Yeah.
There'll be none of this foolishness that goes on. There'll be no women doing commercials with half clothes on. There'll be none of that. There'll be no lust. There'll be none of that. You'll be in a righteous environment of people who love you as much as God loves you. Anyone who has passed away that has said they've experienced, they say, all I felt was love. It said it felt so good. One lady said, I didn't want to come back. Why? Of course you don't want to come back. Would a fish say, you put him in water, you know, I want to go back to the ground. No, of course you don't want to go back. So God is like, look, be prepared and understand this can't last forever. You understand? There'll be a day you'll wake up and there won't be the opportunity to say, please love the Lord. How are you doing today? Can I pray for you? You don't have to even nag people. You could just say, I'm going to put them on my prayer list. And I'm going to call them and just say, I just want you to know Jesus loves you today. And they'll be like, that's her saying Jesus loves me again. And you get off the phone like, you don't know, I just watered him. That's all you're doing, you understand? You're secretly watering people, and they're mad at you, and you go, that's okay. But you're still dripping with water when I leave. You understand? Because you think my success is you accepting Christ. No, my success is that you still know that Jesus loves you, and you still know that there's salvation. And listen to me. I don't know how to say it as strong as God said. He said, now is not a time to say, please come to Jesus. I mean, would you like to come to Jesus? Now is the time to say, please come to Jesus. Now it's time to be urgent. Now is the time, because you're in the harvest season. So I'm not mad at anybody for anything, because now I realize we're all in this together.
Yeah.
3 minutes? That's what I got left?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're the time guy. I don't need that much time anyway. I just want to talk. This is a hard journey. To me, this was supposed to be over 2010. Now, so you imagine where my brain is, okay? This is supposed to be over with 2010. And yet God keeps putting steps in front of me. And sometimes you just don't want to see another step. You just want to see kingdom, right? But God keeps going, okay, here's another step. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is it. This is the last step. I don't see any. Then God says, here's another step. And I don't want to see any more steps. Well, the Lord is telling me, look, you're in the year, you're in the wheat harvest season. Every morning you wake up is not going to be an opportunity to get people saved. Now is the time to say, Jesus loves you. Now is the time to call people and say, you know what? Can you see that the world is changing and is going to change for the worse? And I don't want you to be a part of it. So I'm letting you know Jesus loves you and he doesn't want you to be a part of it. Let me tell you something happened in the days of Noah. Then I'm going to tell you this, right? So really, it's just going on. It's just going on. It's just crazy, okay? So I want us to be urgent about what we're doing. You understand? The book of Esdras, that I was reading, Jasher, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And you have to be mature to read it because there's things that happen there. You go, I got to mark that down because I don't know where that came from. That's crazy stuff, right? But you have to read it because the numerical values, like Isaac, when he went to Mount Moriah, he was 37 years old. Do you know why that's important? 37 is the secret name of Jesus. It's the secret number of God. Okay? So when Isaac was 37, he went to Mount Moriah. Now, Abel's number is 24, so 24 times 37 is 888. So Abel plus Isaac equals Jesus, understand? So you gotta understand, like God is putting stuff in Jasher to let me know I wrote this book. Joseph goes to prison when he's 18 and he has to stay in prison for 12 years. So Joseph gets out of prison when he's what? 30. When did Jesus begin his ministry?
30.
So it's like there's things in there that God is like, because of what I'm showing you, I'm showing you this book is from me. Then he says, now watch this part. There were many people who were righteous in the world in the time of the flood. But the prophecy about Noah was about a savior saving his seven. And so the prophecy was about Christ saving the seven churches. So I couldn't have more than eight on the boat because that's a prophecy. But I want you to know, go back and read this. Before the flood came, there were many righteous people. And it says it was God's will that they die before the flood so they would not experience it. And so God spoke to me and said, I have never let righteous people suffer with evil people. You tell them this is my promise to them, okay? So even though I'm out of water, I know I'm going back. And I know I can have confidence, and I know I have the promise of God that he has never done this. Lot, they told Lot, we can't do nothing until you leave. Get out of here. And God is telling the church the same thing. I can't do nothing till I get you out of there. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Beautiful.
Hallelujah.